Will we please take our seats? For study, just 25A, we'll raise the right hand. All opposed, same sign. 25A is not committed, but it's still before us. All in favor of committing 25B for further study, we'll raise the right hand. All opposed? All right, it's failed. We're back to the main motion, which is before us, and that is to adopt 25A and B. Further discussion? Microphone number 8.
The Christian Teaching Elder, Central Florida Presbytery. Could you, or someone, please tell us what is the effect of these deliverances of the subcommittee on judicial business? Do they become law, or what is their effect on the courts of the church?
Mr. Thompson, would you respond to that?
I will defer to Vaughn Hathaway here. I had understood him to speak as clearly yesterday.
Any objection to Mr. Hathaway acting as
chairman of the permanent committee?
Chairman of the permanent committee. Go ahead, Vaughn.
Mr. Moderator, I never took Latin, so I cannot give you the proper interpretation of the Latin itself. But thesis, as I believe, is a statement. And those of you that come from the RPCS tradition may remember the Bible Presbyterian Church, in which they attached a declaratory statement to the Westminster Confession of Faith. That declaratory statement did not have constitutional binding force, but it was basically an interpretation of what they thought the confession taught. It's a declaration of understanding. It's to be considered seriously as a deliverance of the assembly, as our confession of faith speaks of, not only as its agreement to the word of God, but the authority of the court delivering it, but as to being constitutionally binding, it is not.
Is that clear? Thank you, Vaughn. Microphone 7.
Mr. Moderator, Frank Barker, Teaching Elder Evangelist. I would like to move that we separate A and B here and vote on them one at a time.
Is there objection to doing so? Hearing no objection, we will divide the question. We'll vote on 25A and then B, which would be to sustain or to adopt. All right, any further discussion? I'm sorry, microphone 10, Dr. Harris.
Larry Harris, Teaching Elder, Delmarva Presbytery. Just this word, Mr. Moderator, it was said that the Bible Presbyterian Church declaratory statement did not have constitutional binding. I think there's a poor parallel. Our church, Reformed and Bible Presbyterian also, didn't have study papers which did not have force. But let's not make this, in my understanding, let's not make these parallel to the declaratory statement, which was part of the thing to which we would subscribe in those days.
Thank you, sir. We are voting then on the main motion, divided. Mr. Chairman, do you have a last word?
No, sir.
All right. And if I, all in favor.
Mr. Moderator.
I'm sorry. Microphone 7, David.
I'd like to move an amendment to A.
All right, amendment to A. That's what we're voting on.
Mr. Moderator, 10 minutes up.
10 minutes on the total question is up. If you will extend discussion on this particular issue 5 minutes, raise your right hand. If you refuse to extend 5 minutes, raise your right hand. The time is up. We will vote. You understand what we're voting on is 25A. All in favor of adopting 25A will raise their right hand. All opposed, same sign. 25A is adopted. Come then to 25B. All in favor of adopting 25B will raise the right hand. All opposed, same sign. I declare that the ayes have it. Carried.
Moderator, next question, 24, relates to the same matter, has to do with receiving the paper on confessed subscription as information.
Do you see that before you, brethren? Number item 24. This matter seems to be some confusion. That's page 679?
Yeah, 679, I'm sorry. Page 679, item regimen 24. We took 25 simply at the request of a brother, and 25 is simply receive the paper printed in your handbook as information. Take no action on it.
I recognize Mr. Canada at 8 and then Mr. Barker at 11. Rick.
Rick Canada, Covenant Presbytery. The chairman of the committee of commissioners has not presented this as it is in the recommendation. It says to receive this information and that it be commended to the presbytery. I want to make that point first. I want to make a motion that we amend this recommendation by putting a period after the word information. So it would read this way, that the paper, confessional subscription, page 16, be received as information, period. To get a second, I'd like to speak to that.
It has been seconded. You may speak to it. The motion is, it's an amendment to the main motion, it is that a period will be placed after the word information and the rest of that sentence will be deleted. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, that's the motion. You may speak to it.
Fathers and brethren, the word to commend this to the Presbyterians in session seems to me to be close to an endorsement of the position of the paper. If it's not an endorsement, it's close to it, in my opinion. And this paper takes a definite position on subscription that many in the PCA disagree with at this point, and that the paper itself seems to me to admit is not the historical practice of the PCA. And therefore, I don't think that this paper should be sent down, commended, and in that sense endorsed. We can receive it as information. People can study it and so forth. That's fine. They'll have it. But it should not be commended to presbytery. It should be received as information. If we were going to commend it, we ought to also commend another paper that someone else would write that would present the other position. That would be, I believe, more representative of the history of the PCA in this regard.
If you're moderator, let me answer that question. If you'll turn to page 610 of your handbook, page 610. If you look at recommendation number 13, except for perhaps a clerical mistake, we can take word for word the same recommendation as the permanent committee took. And the idea here is the phrasing that be commended for study. We're not commending the paper itself. We're commending for study.
All right. The amendment is still before you. The amendment which is to place a period after the word information. All right. I have, I have other people in front before you. All right. It's microphone 11, Mr. Barker, you're not speaking to this amendment. All right, and number 6, John, are you speaking to this amendment?
Sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
John Ragland, teaching elder from Grace Presbytery. I need to first ask you a question of procedure here. I would like to make a motion. I'm not sure whether it would be a substitute. Can you substitute for the amendment? Or can you amend the amendment? Can I read what my motion is and you tell me what I should move? Can I do that?
Carry on. Let's see what happens.
That the paper confessional subscription be received as information and that the presbytery sessions and board of deacons be encouraged to study it.
That's an amendment to the amendment.
I would move that, Mr. Moderator.
All right. Is there a second?
And I would like to speak to it.
Let's make sure we have the motion. The motion is that it will read then that the paper confessional subscription, page 16, be received as information and presbytery sessions and boards of deacons be encouraged to study it. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is that your motion, John?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
That's the motion. You may discuss it.
On one hand, if we just receive this as information, my understanding is that when a court receives something as information, it is
basically saying we are doing nothing with it. And to send it to the presbytery sessions and diaconate with the encouragement to study does not carry with it. That's a neutral word. We are encouraging you to study, give us feedback on it. And I would encourage us to continue our ongoing study of this issue and not simply receive it as information and do nothing in effect with it.
Thank you. Microphone number 8, are you discussing the amendment to the amendment?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Dave Cleland, Texas Presbytery. As far as disseminating this down for study at all levels, I would speak against that for this reason. If I read the tone of the paper correctly and the implications that are drawn from it, it points towards a item-by-item acceptance or adherence to the standards of the church, almost a verbal word-for-word adherence to it. And we need to realize, I think, the ground that we're on. Example, question 109, larger catechism, forbids any representation of pictures of Christ of any kind. Anybody that would be using it in the local church and Sunday school material would be found technically and without any question in violation of question 109. And before we promulgate this type of a scriptural position to the churches, I think we better further study the ramifications included in such dissemination.
And Mr. Cleland was speaking against the amendment to the amendment. Is that correct? A further discussion on the amendment to the amendment. Mr. Bringle at microphone 11.
Bringle, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I call the question on the amendment to the amendment.
The question's been called on the amendment to the amendment. All in favor of putting the question will raise the right hand. All opposed, same sign. The amendment to the amendment then is before us. The question has been called. Point of order. Yes, sir. Microphone 3.
John Crumbaker of Delmarva Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I would ask you to rule the amendment to the amendment out of order for this reason. The original amendment was to strike the wording commend for study. The amendment to the amendment simply substitutes the word encourage for study, and I submit, Mr. Moderator, that that is exactly the same thing. We're saying, here it is, we think you ought to study it. And I do believe that this amendment then originally just simply is in opposition to the original amendment.
Even if the amendment to the amendment were out of order, and I may agree with you, it's too late now to call the point of order. Once we've discussed it, we can no longer call a point of order on it. Thank you. The amendment to the amendment is before us, whether it's in order or out of order, too late to say. All right, I see microphone number 6, Roland.
Would you please?
I'm sorry, the question's been called for. Information or question? Microphone 6.
Could it be read before we vote on it?
Thank you. We'll hear that. It's a proper question. The amendment to the amendment.
Strike, quote, that, ellipsis, and the presbytery sessions and boards of deacons be encouraged to study it, period.
Do y'all understand that? No. Here's the way it reads in item 24. If we adopt the amendment to the amendment, it is that it would read that the paper confessional subscription, page 610, be received as information and be and presbytery sessions and boards of deacons be encouraged to study it. That would be the amendment to the amendment. All in favor of the amendment to the amendment will raise the right hand. All opposed, same sign. I'll declare that it passes. A division has been called for. All in favor of the amendment to the amendment will please stand. Remain standing quietly. No. Please continue standing unless your clerk indicates otherwise. All right, there seems to be a little confusion on the count. In this central area, David, is that what we want? We're missing a clerk in this section. At the minute, this central area will stand. Those in favor of the amendment to the amendment. It seems like they're still standing anyway. They're beautiful, respectful servants of the court. You may be seated. Thank you. All those opposed to the amendment, please stand. All those opposed. We'll have another vote later for those who at this time in the assembly just don't care. Please remain standing. You may be seated. Thank you. Motion carries 167 to 148. Well, that's close. The amendment to the amendment carried. Now we are back to the motion as amended. The motion as amended now is before you, number 24. The amendment was the... That's right, we're back to the main motion there, number 24, as amended. All right, now I have, in this order, I had Mr. Barker, and then, not Frank Barker, but Will Barker, and then George Knight, you were at 11, then you would be next, and then Rick Canada was at 7, he was supposed to be next, unless he relinquished to Mike, and then Frank Smith, and he's not at Mike 6, and we'll put then... A point of order, microphone 8.
Robert Miller, New River Presbytery, ruling elder. I do not believe we passed the amendment. We passed an amendment to the amendment, and we
You're
still
right.
have to
That's
pass
right.
the amendment.
Thank you. That point of order is well taken. So we do have the amendment now still before us. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Discussion on the amendment? You want to hear it? Time has lapsed on the amendment. Do you wish to extend time 5 minutes? So raise your right hand. Opposed? We will not extend time. Number. All right, do you want to extend time on the main motion 5 minutes? That was on the amendment. Main motion 5 minutes. Opposed to extending time at all? All right, we will not. We'll put the question, and that is on the amendment. I'll ask the clerk to read the amendment. It's the same thing we just had, you're right. Anyone have forgotten? Okay. Do you want to hear it read? All right, want to hear it read. The amendment to the amendment is what now is before us. That was amended. That is that the paper confessional subscription, page 610, be received as information and sent, and that presbytery sessions and boards of deacons be encouraged to study it. That's what's before you. All in favor of that motion will raise the right hand. All opposed? It's carried. We're back then to the main motion. And we have to vote. All in favor of the motion will raise the right hand. All opposed? It's carried. Number 24, then as amended, has been approved. Mr. Chairman?
Thank you. If you turn now to page 676, recommendation 10. 676, recommendation 10. At the same time, if you will put your finger there and turn over to 608, 608 in your handbook. Look at reference 3 at the top of the page. This is an interpretation already provided by the committee to the session of the Vineville Presbyterian Church. We are simply endorsing, recommending that this advice be ratified. Remove adoption of recommendation 10.
The motion is before you. There's a discussion on recommendation 10. Microphone number 10.
Ed Johnston, ruling elder, Bishop of the Valley. This is, as I understand it, can I talk to ask the chairman? This is not necessarily a binding way to do it, but this is a suggested way. Is that what you're saying?
Right. If I answer the question a little bit more fully, there is correspondence which is part of the minutes of the permanent committee, which does not form part of this recommendation, which clarified this question somewhat. We do not view ourselves as being in a position probably of putting correspondence in the minutes. The essence of this is that there is a particular situation, and this advice is addressed to that particular situation. We can go into it in further detail, but to answer your question, it would be by the sense that it is the opinion of the committee that that was the interpretation of the Book of Church Order in this particular case. And any similar case, that would probably be their consistent advice. It's binding in that sense, that we're recognizing it as their interpretation of the Book of Church Order, and we're not in disagreement with it.
Well, let me ask another question, then, if I may. I'm not being familiar with the case. It appears to me that someone turning in a blank ballot is, in effect, voting against all of the people that are there. So in effect, it is a negative vote against everybody, right?
As the correspondence was presented to us, the congregation had an election for officers, and they had the choice of voting for all of them, let's say it was six, or two, or one, or voting for none. That is saying that none were, in their judgment, qualified. It was the opinion of the session that a blank ballot represented a vote for zero candidates, that it was not an abstention. And we affirmed that advice. But in any event, the Book of Church Order provision is already very specific. It says that all members present, whether voting or not, are the basis on which you decide to vote. So that if a given candidate gets 50% plus one vote of those present, whether they're voting or not, he is elected. So it's not necessary to go into the details if the Book of Church Order provision is understood on that basis. Not understood. Okay. It's simply pointed to.
In other words, you're saying that a blank ballot would be just like not even turning the ballot at all, in effect.
Well, no, a blank ballot would be voting for none, but whether they turn in a blank ballot voting for none, or whether they simply abstain, it doesn't change the vote.
Okay. I just thank you for the clarification.
Do you want to assist with that answer?
I would defer again to Vaughn Hathaway. I mean, determine.
Mr. Moderator, the tension is between Robert's Rules of Order and our Book of Church Order. Robert's Rules of Order says that the normal procedures in any assembly is that if those present, a majority of those present and voting shall determine a question. He acknowledges that assemblies can determine their own method of determination and does say that this is one that is allowable. And the General Assembly chose to insert the language that a majority vote of those present. So basically, when you come to a question, you need to know how many people are present and then know how many people voted in favor of the matter in order to determine the election.
Thank you. Microphone 5.
I am Mark Cushman, teaching elder, Central Georgia Presbytery. I came to this church after this situation was discussed and presented to the Judicial Committee. And I want to just a point of interpretation. If this is, I don't know if you use binding to this church or to, in this particular case, or maybe I better ask, to what degree is this binding on this particular church? And if it is binding, does this invalidate an election that was done contrary to this prescribed in the Book of Church Order?
It is the impression of both the committee commissioners, to best my knowledge, and of the permanent committee, that the result, the net result of the election is not changed in this consideration here. But what we are saying is, this is what the Book of Church Order says.
Mm-hmm.
That the procedure should have been followed. We were not asked to decide whether on the validity of the election results. That was not pertinent. Interpretation of the Book of Church Order was.
Call on microphone 11, Dr. Knight.
George Knight, teaching elder, St. Louis Presbytery. I move that the word "those present" be changed to "the voters present." I get a second. I'll give you the reason why.
All right. Motion is made to amend.
Mr. Moderator, I believe that that the two books are not in conflict with one another. That it is unfortunate that in 24.3 it says those, but both in 24.4 and earlier in a similar section about voting in 24, it says the voters present. This would mean then you don't count all in attendance, but you count all in attendance who vote. And I think that is the intent of all the occurrences.
Yeah.
The one where it only says those present should be interpreted by the language in the other two where it says the voters present. And I think it will clarify this whole issue now, because if we send it down to those present, we're going to have to count everybody in the auditorium and make sure you have 50%, whereas if we make this amendment, we simply do the usual procedure of counting the 51% of the votes that are cast either by hand or standing or handed in. It's much better, and we need to keep it that way.
You understand that he's not changing the wording in the Book of Church Order. All he's doing is changing the assembly's clarification at this point, seeking to clarify for that too.
No, Mr. Moderator, but I am using the language of the Book
That's
of
right.
Church Order at another place rather than the language at the first place that they sought to use.
That's right. It's not a matter of changing the standards.
Okay.
Microphone 6, Don Munson.
Donald Munson, teaching elder, Western Carolina Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, I would like to was that a motion that
it was.
Mr. Knight, I'd like to amend his motion by inserting before voters the word eligible so that it would read those eligible voters present. If I could get a second, I'd like to explain the reason.
It is seconded.
There may be persons who are not eligible to vote because they're not members of the congregation who would like to sit in on the congregational meeting and be a part of it. And I think that the intention in the Book of Church Order would be that only those who were communicant members would be such as would be counted in determining whether there is a majority of those present. I believe that Dr. Knight's intention is to clarify this matter of non-communing members who might be in attendance, but that his intention really is to the effect of what he has said would be to reverse the intention in the Book of Church Order, and then this could be clarified by making the word eligible also a part of this.
All right, thank you. That's an amendment then to that amendment. Any discussion? Further discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Microphone 4, Lee. Microphone 4.
Lee Ferguson, Calvary Presbyterian Teaching Elder. I'm just wondering if this amendment would go back to the original motion. If we say eligible voters, that doesn't include, as it seems, that Dr. Knight's amendment to be those who are actually voting. If we say eligible voters, it seems that that could include people in the congregation who are eligible voters but who did not actually vote, whereas Dr. Knight's amendment, in my understanding, includes only those who actually vote. I'd just like some clarification on that.
If I may offer clarification, Dr. Knight is amending the recommendation of the committee. He is not amending the Book Church Order. The Book Church Order in 24-3 says all communion members in good and regular standing, but no others are entitled to vote. That establishes the qualifications. Then in 24-4 it says, in every case, a majority of all the voters present, previously specified, shall be required to elect. It's clear. Now, what Dr. Knight's motion did is simply clarify the wording of the recommendation, to which we have no objection.
All right, microphone 4 still has the floor.
Could I ask Dr. Knight if he thinks that the his amended motion or amended amendment?
He has an amendment. We're dealing with an amendment to the amendment.
Okay. I'd like to ask him if he thinks that the amended amendment is essentially the same as his amendment.
Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator, I've tried to listen to the debate, and I do think that the word eligible may present a problem of then having to count them whether they voted or not, and I think without the word eligible, it's better, it's the voters, and then we know exactly whom we have to count. And I hesitate to argue the case. I simply answer the question.
That'd be proper at this time. It'd be better not to argue the case. We come to microphone 2 is next in order. Would you have a point of order? Microphone 3? Yes, sir. Microphone 3?
Mr. Moderator, point of order, Jim Meek, Teaching Elder, Louisiana Presbytery. My understanding of Dr. Knight's amendment and then of the amendment to the amendment is that we have now reversed twice the intent of the recommendation before us. The recommendation before us says that we should define a majority as those present, and I assume that meant eligible. Dr. Knight's amendment intended to reverse that and say only those who voted. Now, the amendment has reversed that again and said all of those eligible, whether they vote or not. I don't think a motion to reverse the intent is properly an amendment, and I think we've had two of those now.
I would rule that your point of order is not in order. I do not interpret that in that way. The emphasis is not on the word present, but it's the emphasis on who these people are who are present. And all we're trying to do is say that voters present or eligible voters present may vote and be counted.
The point was on a blank ballot, and whether those who cast the blank ballot were to be included in a count of those present for the purposes of determining majority.
All right, that's your point of order, and your point of order is that the amendment to the amendment and the amendment are out of order?
Yes, sir, because the amendment to the amendment reversed the intent of the amendment, and the amendment reversed the intent of the motion before it.
Yes, your point of order is not in order. We've already debated the amendment to the amendment. Thank you. Time has lapsed on the whole. All right, time has lapsed on the whole. All those who favor extending the time on the whole question by 5 minutes will raise their right hand. All those opposed, same sign. The time has lapsed. We go then to vote on the amendment to the amendment. And the amendment is, Mr. Clerk, on the main question.
Add to the amendment before the word voters the word eligible.
Yeah. All right, on the whole. Now?
An amendment?
Oh, he wants the word before we vote now. All right.
Mr. Moderator, I yield the floor for the privilege of last statement to the chairman from the committee.
The amendment to the amendment, which is on Don Munson's amendment, the word eligible being inserted. No, why don't we wait till we get back to the whole? Yeah. We have a matter of information in the microphone, too. This wants to ask for information or to give information.
I'm just thoroughly, Bert Hitchcock from New Jersey, I'm just thoroughly confused. I agree with Mr. Meade, and it seems like we're going back and forth. I just would ask you to read what we're voting on, or the resultant reading all the way through, if this amendment to the amendment passes.
I think that's a proper question. Can you do that, Mr. Clerk? Top of page 677. A majority. You want me to do that? A majority vote of those.
A majority vote of the eligible voters present is required to elect. A majority vote of the eligible voters present is required to elect.
Now, if we vote yes on the amendment to the amendment, we're inserting the word eligible. If you vote that down, then we're back to the amendment to the main motion, which is just to insert the word voter. If you vote both those down, we're back to the main motion just as it appears on the page. Are we together? All right. All in favor of the amendment to the amendment, which essentially is to add the word eligible, will raise the right hand. Thank you. All opposed, same sign. That motion is lost. We're back to the amendment, which is to add the word voter. Microphone 4.
Point of information, please.
Yes, sir.
Kurt Lovelace, teaching elder, Southern Florida. On this procedure, we have voted about whether to use the word eligible. Then we have to go back to the amendment. It's conceivable that we vote to insert the word eligible and then not vote to use the word voters. Is that correct?
We just defeated that. Eligible now is no longer before us at all. That word has been removed.
Procedure itself, the order in which we've taken the vote.
Yes, well, we deal with the amendment, which was to insert the word eligible before voters. We've dealt with that. We go now back to the amendment, which was simply to insert the word voters. That's right. And then if you could turn the whole down, that's right. All right. Microphone 4 and then 6.
Lauren Watson of Calvary Presbytery. Mr. Moderator, are we to assume that the word voter in this case uniformly means a person who casts a ballot, or is it not a broader term that can refer to somebody who's already there?
Well, surely that would... Well, all right, I won't answer that.
Because that's the thing on which this whole business hinges, it seems to me, is the interpretation of the word voter. And all it right. Seems to me it can be used in a broad sense to mean somebody present.
I'll rule that we're still clarifying, getting information, though the time has lapsed. We're supposed to be going right on back. All right, Vaughn.
Mr. Moderator, we have been referred to Book of Church Order 20-4. I would call your attention to the words immediately following method of voting. The voter is being convened. They haven't voted yet. The word implies the persons who are eligible to vote. Now, our Book of Church Order follows Robert's Rules of Order and has chosen a specific basis of election. And I'm sorry I can't refer to the page number in Robert's Rules of Order to direct you there, but I think the clerk could. The Book of Church Order is clear. Excuse me, intended to be clear. That the method of voting is not those who are actually casting a ballot to be counted as voters. It's the eligible voters assemble together and a majority of those to accomplish election. And if the General Assembly is unhappy with that procedure, the rejection or the amendment of the advice or the opinion is not going to change what the Book of Church Order says. And I think that you need to propose an amendment to the Book of Church Order to clarify all those sections dealing with voting.
I'll go to microphone 6 and then 3 and then 4. We are not debating. All we're asking for is clarification, which at this point may be impossible.
Tom Cook, teaching Ellie, Mississippi Valley, call the question, please, Mr. Martin.
The question's already been called. And we're trying to move to putting the question. The time has left. We've got to put it. But we don't want to cut a man off if he's not understanding what we're doing. We want to be as patient as possible. Microphone 3 and then come to 4. Mr. Meek.
Mr. Moderator, Jim Meek, teaching elder, Louisiana Presbytery. I would like the moderator to rule. We've had two interpretations of the motion before us, one of Mr. Hathaway and one of Mr. Knight. I'd like the ruling of the chair as to which is the proper interpretation of the motion before us, the meaning of the term voter in this amendment.
I would define voter as those persons eligible to vote.
That is Mr. Hathaway's interpretation, then, I guess.
I'm not sure which that was, but it seems like to me the voter is a voter. He's a person who is eligible to vote in the court. Otherwise, he wouldn't be called a voter.
Whether he votes or not.
Whether he votes or not.
Thank you, sir.
Whatever the book says, and that's our point. In every case, a majority of all the voters present shall be required to elect. It seems to me that sentence is rather plain. If a person is, if his vote, you know, is going to be required to elect, then he's the person who's eligible to vote. It's not the person present, it's the person present who is eligible to vote. All right, microphone 4.
Sam Larson, teaching elder, Delmarva. Mr. Moderator, am I to understand then that in 20-4 of our book of church order, then the voters being convened that our brother just referred to and that you're referring to, you're referring to those who have the potential of voting rather than those who shall vote, because either one is perfectly good English. But you're ruling then that it's those who have the potential to vote rather than those who shall in fact vote.
That's my understanding. That's how I would interpret that. Microphone number 3.
Alan Crumbaker, Delmarva Presbytery. I challenge the ruling of the moderator, and may I say why, sir?
Yes, sir.
This body, the General Assembly, does not interpret it that way. We have taken votes on elections here, and the rule was that the majority of the actual votes cast was used. Mr. Moderator, we have never said how many people were eligible to vote and counted that as then considering the majority. So I appeal your ruling, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Moderator.
Excuse me.
I believe that that is correct only where the two-thirds vote is required.
No.
Mr. Moderator, he is correct about elections in the assembly. But this is a specific thing regarding the election of a pastor. Ruling elders. It's specifically spelled out in the book that you have to have a majority of that whole group that is there. But he's quite correct that this is the way we do elections here. That rule doesn't apply here. Ordinarily, it's just the way he suggests. But the book has a specific addition. And Roberts indicates that a body may set that.
Is that understood? All right. Thank you. We're going to vote. Surely we're going to vote. All right. Oh, thank you, Jack. He did challenge my ruling. My ruling is that I would stand with my ruling, and that is that voter refers to eligible voters present. Will the court sustain the moderator? All in favor, aye. I'm sorry, you raised the right hand. Thank you for knowing what I was really trying to say. Raise right hand if you sustain the ruling of the moderator. All right, all opposed to sustaining the ruling of the moderator. All right, the ruling is carried. We go then to the vote. And I think we're all to the amendment now to the main motion, are we not? And that means if you vote for the amendment, that is that you're inserting the word voter. This was the amendment made by Mr. Knight. You're inserting the word voter, all right? All in favor of the amendment will raise the right hand. Thank you. All opposed will raise the right hand. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. All right, the business has been called for. All of those in favor of the amendment will please stand.
The ayes have it by about 12 votes. Yeah, I wonder about that. Really do. around after 11 in order to take 10 minutes. 10 minutes wouldn't be enough time, do we? Everybody gets an after the night. Need about 20. I don't know if they want to take 20 or not. We're almost at noon, yeah.
You may be seated. You may be seated. All of those opposed to the amendment will please stand. You may be seated. Thank you. The motion carried 159-104. So we're back to the main motion as amended. Back to the main motion. And the word voter now has it not yet. It has been inserted. Of the voters present. Is that understood? All right. All in favor of the motion will raise the right hand. All opposed, same sign. It's carried. Thank you. 10 is carried.
Okay. Mr. Moderator, I have received a request that we proceed to question 20 due to the fact that the office of trustee, which is the substance of that overture, is something concerned to some of the brethren who used to be in the Reformed Presbyterian Church. But I do not want to move to make that decision myself. I would ask that you put that as a question, that we move to question consideration of recommendation 20.
Is there objection to our proceeding to recommendation number 20? We're proceeding out of sequence, so we're going to recommendation 20. Any objection?
All right.
We shall do so.
If you will flip to page 629, you can see the overture that we're referring to. We recommend that the answer is negative. Let me read the grounds since we haven't had a chance to read this. The office of trustee is not introduced in our form of government as an ecclesiastical office, since it's not provided for in Scripture, although the civil magistrate may require trustees or directors. In this, the church is acting in obedience to the head of the church. In situations envisioned in the overture, the Board of Deacons has complete liberty under our form of government to enlist supplementary assistance for which purposes they may draw upon the entire particular church membership. We move adoption of recommendation 20.
Number 20 has been moved for adoption. I may explain that I'm taking the chair. Mr. Settle has asked for an interview.
Moderator, may I speak to you on one additional word of explanation?
Yes, sir.
The thought of the committee was that the function of trustees as presented to the committee was in many churches in the RP, the former connection,
Describing precisely many of the duties which our book church order assigns specifically to the deacons. The concern expressed to us was that we allow the trustees to continue to do so. Our impression was that those functions should be properly done by the deacons as a diaconate, that they are not simply groundskeepers or whatever, but that if they wish to enlist the assistance of any other member of the church, they were certainly free to do so. But primary responsibility was with those offices, eldership and deacons in the church, which are of scriptural province.
Bills are before you. Is there further discussion? Number 11.
Okay. Mr. Moderator, Brian Chappell, teaching elder, Ileana Presbytery. I'd like to encourage the fathers and brothers, and you have to glance at me to know that more of you are fathers than brothers, to vote against the recommendation on three grounds: scriptural, historical, and pastoral. Scriptural basis, I think, is referred to in the recommendation in that it is implied that because this office is not mentioned in Scripture, it is not to be provided for. That seems to me as establishing the precedent that what Scripture does not specify, it prohibits. And that seems to me to be a dangerous precedent. In all my years of studying with you, Dr. Harris, I don't remember the Hebrew for General Assembly, and yet we do it. It seems to me that there are certain things that we allow on the basis of decency and order. And it is proper, more proper, on the basis of church policy to say that there are things which are allowed not because Scripture does not specify them, but because decency and order does. It is not simply something we should rule out of hand because Scripture does not speak to it directly. On the historical basis, I remind those of you in the RPCS that a covenant of sorts was made with the Reformed Presbyterian Church, General Synod, when it joined with the Evangelical Presbyterians in 65. And the basis of that covenant was that because these churches had a previous form of government, that they should be allowed to maintain that. And that grandfather clause was specifically written into the RPCES form of government. The churches came into that agreement on the understanding that they would be allowed to maintain that form of government. And now to dissolve that form of government as well as that covenant is not to be faithful to the agreement upon which those churches originally entered. Finally, I would point out simply the pastoral grounds. I am one of your youngest pastors in one of your oldest churches. We are quickly approaching our 200-year anniversary. We have operated under this system for that time, and to change at this point will injure us in terms of our relationships with this denomination. Not mortally. I know it will not be your intent to injure us, but nonetheless, we will be injured. And I implore each of you to consider whether or not we are considering matters of principle or preference, and that you not injure us on a matter of preference where principle is not truly involved. I urge you to recall that the recommendation that's set before you is put in the negative, and I implore you to vote in the negative in the order that this may be turned down as a negative recommendation and that Overture 17 may be brought before you as a motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Number 6, Mike 6.
Mr. Moderator, this is Ms. Cooley from Ascension Presbytery, a teaching elder and a member of the original PCA church. I would like to ask the chair a question, and depending upon the answer, I may wish to offer a motion.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Moderator, if we wish to have the original overture before the court, would the proper procedure be to vote down the recommendation that's before us and then introduce it, or can the original motion be introduced now as a substitute?
I would think that the thing to do would be to vote down the overture and vote down the recommendation and then to propose the overture. Am I correct on that? I believe that would be the simplest thing, if you have that mind, to vote down the recommendation before us and then propose the overture. It would have been possible, I suppose, to move to refuse the recommendation and to accept the overture. That would have been possible. But that is not before us, so the other may would be better, I think.
Then let me, in my brief moment of debate at this point, urge the Assembly to vote down the recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners so that we will have an opportunity to speak directly to the overture that was presented by Ascension Presbytery. You're kind of arguing against yourself if you try to debate the essence of the overture when it's before us in this negative form. I urge the Assembly to vote down the recommendation that's before us so we can deal directly with the substance of the overture. Thank you.
Is someone speaking to the contrary? Yes. Number 7.
Bill Swain, Southern Florida. Many churches who are incorporated have trustees for the purpose of holding property, that sort of thing. And so if we vote this in the affirmative, won't we be having trustees with two different jobs and standards?
Mr. Moderator, if I may speak to that, the PCA book provides for trustees to hold property. The churches from a Northern Presbyterian background have trustees who have the upkeep of the property and so forth in their hands.
As well as
holding property. In other words, the PCA book has provision for trustees for the civil function only of holding property. You would not affect that if you vote in favor of the present motion of the Committee of Commissioners.
I just wanted to have clarification of the two positions.
Is there anyone voting against or that wants to speak against the recommendation? Excuse me, in favor of the recommendation. Against, we heard two. Are you speaking in favor? No. Mr. Holliday, will you speak? Number 10.
Number 10. I remind you that there are three Presbyterian denominations that began in America. One was a Presbyterian church that divided into the Northern and the Southern churches. There was a Reformed Presbyterian church that later became the Covenanter Church and the Reformed Presbyterian Church General Synod. The Associate Presbyterian became later the ARP and then the Old United Presbyterian Church. I believe in all of these, the Southern Church is the only one that has taken this stand. The United Presbyterian Church of the present day, the Old United Presbyterian Church, the Old Presbyterian Church USA, the Covenanter Church, the Reformed Presbyterian Church General Synod, the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod, all have allowed the office of trustees. So really, I think the Southern Church is still alone in this, that only the deacon does this job. And also, as far as Acts and the other parts of the New Testament, the deacon was was an office of mercy. It was not one of caring for finances for the total building or the total program of the church. So I don't think there's anything contrary here. There are a lot of things that we do that are not mentioned in the Bible. The Committee of Commissioners is one. And yet we use these, and we use them very effectively, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I do feel to rule out the background of all of these other churches, and particularly of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and our own church, our congregation is over 180 years. And it was set up this way, and it has worked very smoothly. And I strongly urge that we vote this down and go back to the overture.
Are we ready to vote? Number 11.
Teaching Elder of St. Louis. Mr. Moderator, I remind the Assembly that we're not ruling out trustees, which are required by the civil government, and we know we have to submit by Romans 13. But I will remind you that we are operating under a book of church order, which says in its preface, Roman numeral 1, the end of that, the second to the last paragraph, these words, Christ as King has given to his church offices, oracles, and ordinances, and especially has he ordained therein his system of doctrine, government, discipline, and worship, all of which are either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary inference may be deduced therefrom, and to which things he commands that nothing be added. I would submit, since we do not have a place for church officers named trustees in the pages of the New Testament, we must not make a provision for church officers named trustees, even if our northern forebears may have unfortunately done so.
We are bound by a book of church order. And furthermore, may I remind you that the heritage of our Southern Presbyterian brethren was to remind themselves that the statement in Acts 6 about the seven, the forerunners of the deacons, was to commit all matters freeing up the elders connected with the activities in the church, and they rightly, by good and necessary inference, committed those matters such as we now have with buildings into their hands. Thus, for these reasons, I seek in favor of the recommendation which disallows the overture to make another church officer called trustee. Finally, may I say, the pragmatic should remind us that there have been innumerable headaches where the trustees, often astute men, sometimes not taking ordination vows, control the money. They sometimes did it to the detriment of the session and the rule of the church. That's a pragmatic consideration, but I know innumerable instances can be cited with that problem.
Number two, Mike two.
My name is Elwin Jewell. I'm with the New Jersey Presbytery Teaching Elder. We are a growing small church. My problem that I see with this is that we have one ordained deacon. Now, the state of New Jersey requires a certain number of trustees. And what do we do? Do we borrow deacons from other larger churches so that we have the right number? I never heard of that before, but I'm sort of in a real problem if we pass this because I don't know how to operate the church, and we don't want to lay hands on someone who's not prepared for the ordination of a deacon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Moderator, is the commissioner speaking to the problem of having trustees to hold property as a matter of civil question?
Do we have one deacon handle all the operations that we now have a board of trustees handling?
Mr. Moderator, the present book of church order would give all temporal affairs of the church into the hands of the deacons. And the matter of trustees holding property, you can use anyone.
Yeah, but see, my problem is we're going to end up with one deacon doing all this business, and I don't handling all the finances, etc. I don't think that is very wise.
The other provision of the Book of Church Order under the chapter on deacon does allow the church to, it says the diaconate to appoint godly men and women to assist them in their functions. If you don't have people ready to be ordained, you could actually use women to assist in some of the diaconal functions of that sort.
But they would not be ordained voting as a board.
They could not serve as a board, no.
Recognize
the moderator,
Laird Harris.
May I just simply say something in the history and the background of our own Reformed Presbyterian Church? In our Reformed Presbyterian Church, for many years, we had it specified that the control of the property should be in the hands of the elders and that the elders should be the trustees. This is a little bit of a shock to have the deacons now be the trustees. The elders, there was a grandfather's clause that churches previously organized did not have to change. And it would be a very great help in some of our churches, I'm sure, if there could be such a grandfather clause put in here. The background of that was that in the USA church, the elders in session were often, the trustees and the elders were often at loggerheads. And to avoid that, we put them all in one place. I think that was an overreaction because the problem in the old church and the Northern Presbyterian Church was that trustees didn't even have to be members of the denomination, members of the church, just attenders. And so we had often a group of trustees who were wealthy men who were not even members of the congregation, and the session couldn't control the whole thing.
10 minutes.
If you wish to continue the discussion, if you wish to continue, please raise your hand. Yes, microphone number three, is this a point of order?
Yes, sir.
State your point of order.
My point of order is this, and I respect Dr. Harris greatly. However, there were men standing to debate, and he left the chair and immediately took to debate. And I
wonder if it's fair to cut off time to men who are waiting under those circumstances.
That, well, you're arguing the question right now, yeah. Putting the question. Yeah. That's not a point of order. Are you prepared to continue the discussion another 5 minutes? If you are, please raise your hand. If you're not prepared to continue, please raise your hand. The debate is called at this time, and we'll vote on the motion. I'll turn it back to Dr. Harris. Would you state the motion that's pending? Is it the main motion? The main motion. All right, we're on the main motion. I thought we were on amendment. All in favor of the main motion, indicate by raising your right hand. All right. All opposed, raise your right hand. Motion carries.
Moderator, move to resume the normal order of numerical order of our consideration recommendations. We have acted on number 10, page 677. 677, we are at recommendation 11. I simply move you adoption of recommendation 11.
Been moved. Recommendation number 11, page 677. Is there any debate, discussion on this? If not, are you ready to vote? Number 9, you're not seeking the chair. No. I see no one seeking the microphone, so we come to a vote on number 11. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, raise your right hand. It is carried.
Let's try the same procedure on 12. I'm not going to say anything else. I'll move recommendation 12. Having to do with overture 2, page 625.
Number 12. Is there any desire? There's no desire to take these up one by one. They're all related, I gather. I see no one coming asking for a debate. Therefore, I put the question on number 12. Those in favor of adopting this recommendation, please raise your hand. Those opposed, the same sign. It is carried. This is the answer in the negative.
We recommend adoption of recommendation 13, overture 3, page 625. And let me just explain here. The committee endorsed what was proposed in the overture. We suggested some improved language, the phrasing of the overture itself.
Would you read the...
Okay, what in essence we're doing here is allowing the presbytery, if they so desire, to elect the moderator, the presbytery, for a year's term, rather than under the present practice, he has to be elected at every meeting, even though in practice we do elect the same person at every meeting, the same person for successive meetings. This would allow a little bit more longer range planning. You'd know ahead of time that the moderator would be so-and-so, but this would be up to the presbytery whether they would go meeting by meeting, or for 6 months, or for up to a year at a time, which I understand is a procedure which the former governor of the RP provided for.
Microphone 6, ask the floor. Mr. Moderator, Smith Cooley from Ascension Presbytery Teaching Elders. Could I ask a question? Does our present Book of Church Order forbid the presbytery from electing the same man as moderator for each of the stated meetings during a year?
No, sir.
Well, if our book does not forbid that, I see no need to amend the book to change it. We can elect a man for a year, just elect him each meeting and leave it up to each presbytery. The argument is apparently that the action is unnecessary. Is there any other argument? Number 4.
Mr. Moderator, B.I. Anderson, Mississippi Valley. I would move to amend this resolution by deleting after the comma for a period of 1 year merely that the moderator of the presbytery shall be elected at each meeting of the court, period.
You have, in your statement, you changed the word may to shall also. I gather that was intentional?
My copy reads that way.
The moderator of the presbytery may be elected? Are we in the right place? What is your reading?
Is that not 13?
Yes.
It says may in my copy.
Yes, and you read it shall.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Well, then I would just read may.
I see. So you only want to amend by dropping everything after the word court.
That's right.
That amendment is before you. Argument on the amendment. It was seconded, I gather. Yes.
The reason for my insertion or asking for the deletion, sir, is that this gives many men in the presbytery an opportunity to have leadership places, and it safeguards against anyone becoming a super moderator.
You have heard the amendment proposed and the argument, the other argument on the amendment.
Mr. Moderator, if this amendment is adopted as is, it will drop the provision of Book Church Order regarding the moderator of General Assembly. I'm not in favor of the amendment, but I'm saying if it's adopted, it also has the additional effect of deleting any provision for election of the moderator general assembly for the term of office.
Voting on, discussing the amendment to number six.
Jim Jones, teaching elder, Westminster Presbytery. The paragraph 10-3 of the Book of Church Order already makes the provision that the amendment makes without being as specific as the amendment. It reads, the moderator of the presbytery and of the General Assembly shall be chosen at each stated meeting of these courts. I speak against the amendment. It is totally useless.
Any in favor of the amendment to speak? Speaking on the amendment in its favor? Anyone else speaking on the amendment? Number six? Are you speaking on the amendment? Anyone else speaking on the amendment?
Roy Davenport, Western Carolina Presbytery. I'd like to speak to you.
Number seven.
Excuse me, yes. I'm speaking against the amendment. I think it has exactly the opposite potential of the nature of it when he says that the moderator shall be elected or may be elected, giving no specifications. He said it curtailed the possibility of a super moderator, and when in fact it opens up the possibility of the same man being elected indefinitely. Therefore, I would speak against the amendment and in favor of the original which specifies time limits.
Are we ready to vote on the amendment? Number eight.
My name is DeWitt Watson from Great Lakes. I would also like to speak against the amendment, and which would leave the original in. There is some validity of continuity in presbytery, and the being a moderator is not necessarily kind of a reward that everybody ought to enjoy that privilege and as a good fellow, lots of good fellows in presbytery, but not everybody has the same skills in leading presbytery, and therefore it might be better to have a good number of men who have those skills to be used as moderators of presbytery rather than just passing around to every single person in presbytery. I would speak against the amendment.
May I ask, if you're speaking in favor and if you're speaking on the amendment, please stand close to the microphone. If you're not speaking on the amendment for the moment, please step back just a moment. I can tell better. Number nine, on the amendment, I gather.
I'm calling for the question. I'm Thurman Raines, a real elder from Sugar Bluff Covenant Presbyterian Church of Westminster Presbytery. And I think we've talked enough about this. I call for the question.
Shall the question now be put? If so, please raise your right hand. That's overwhelming. The question will now be put. Do you want to say anything further, sir?
No, sir.
The question is number 13. The moderator of the presbytery may be elected at each stated meeting of the court, period, is the force of the amendment as I understand it. Is that correct? Those in favor of that amendment, please raise your right hand. Those opposed to the amendment, raise your right hand. The amendment is lost. The main motion is before us. We're speaking on the main amendment, number 10, on the main motion. Number 10.
I don't see how anybody's going to become a superpower in 1 year, but it does give a tremendous amount of continuity to the presbytery in planning for the meeting. I think it's a strong advantage of having a man at least possibly to be in for the year. I'm in favor of the overture.
Number 10, number 11, is the floor.
John Holmes, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I want to remind our brothers of our previous relation. In our previous relation as most of the original PCA guys, we had a situation very similar to this in most of the presbyteries, and we reeled under it. And the present provision in the Book of Church Order does not prohibit a man being reelected from time to time, but it does insist that he be reelected, and he is not thereby made the moderator of one of a future court by a previous court. And I think that in itself has merit, because we do not elect the moderator for this meeting 2 years ago. Now, if we were to do that same thing on the presbytery basis, we would indeed be getting superpowers as far as the denominational, the presbytery structure is concerned. So this matter deeply concerns me, that we put into place some kind of an idea that will allow a person not have to be elected on by the actual people there at that particular presbytery. The way the book stands now is what we ought to keep, and I want this to be defeated.
There are several seeking the microphone. Brethren, we should bring this to a vote quickly. This is advice, anyhow. Number 6, speaking on the motion.
Moderator, Donald Munson, teaching elder, Western Carolina Presbytery. I'd like to call for the question.
The question is called for. Those in, shall the question be put? Please raise your hand if you desire. That's overwhelming. We shall vote the, bring the question to a vote at once. Number 13, the moderator, president may be elected, and so on. We're voting on that. Those in favor, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, raise your right hand. I declare it passed.
Mr. Moderator, may I record my negative vote?
You may. Where are you?
We moved too long. Okay. Recommendation 14.
Recommendation 14. Very good.
It has reference to page 626 of the overture, number 4. We recommend adoption or move adoption of recommendation 14.
Recommendation 14
page on 677.
On
677.
That is that the overture be referred to the permanent subcommittee.
Yes, sir.
That's the overture on page 626, and that concerns what, sir?
Concerns a change in the Book of Church Order regarding succession of, well, not so much the succession, but election of persons to permanent committees for more than one consecutive term. And the thing of the committee was that there were real problems inherent in here which had not been adequately considered, and that the permanent committee should study this and bring back appropriate recommendations to the next General Assembly.
You have the recommendation before you and the material that it concerns on page 626. Are we ready to vote? Is there anyone? Microphone number 8 for discussion.
John Clement, teaching elder, stated clerk of Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. This overture comes from our presbytery. A question first to the chairman, Mr. Moderator, and then maybe some debate. This overture has been in the hands of the permanent committee for some time. And you'll see it signed by my predecessor as stated clerk, which makes it almost a year. Have they not considered it? Why do they need to have it another year? If I could get an answer to that, I'd like to speak.
I cannot speak for the permanent committee. I do know they had a very heavy load of work on other issues. There were, well, I'll tell you what, I'll yield the floor to you. appoint Commissioner Chairman.
Mr. Moderator, if I recall correctly, this overture was not given to the committee in the sense of study. We do not have that prerogative. When an overture comes to the General Assembly that it requires judicial business matters, the Subcommittee of Judicial Business makes simple recommendations to find it in order, and we have no program to put. And so we report it to the floor to determine what the General Assembly has to do with it. Now, if there is information that we feel that it's out of order according to the scriptures or to our Constitution, then we make a definite recommendation. But otherwise, we do not study a matter unless the General Assembly tells us to study a matter.
Thank you. I stand corrected on that. It's not the workload.
Number seven.
Oh, teaching elder, Central Georgia Presbytery, what the thrust of this matter will be, if studied, will be to allow a man to serve 10 years on a permanent committee. I think one of the strong points of the PCA is a grassroots denomination, and this will begin to build bureaucracy. The same men serving over and over, dominating the General Assembly, I think it's a bad idea. I don't think we ought to study it. I think we ought to let the Book of Church Order as it stands rule, and I think we ought to resoundingly vote it down and go on.
You heard the speech?
Mr. Moderator,
I think we should have no applause on such matters of business, please.
Mr. Moderator, may I respond to the to give the sense of the committee. We recognize this very principle that we did not want to centralize power in the hands of a few who would serve for a very long term. But we also were sensitive to another issue, and that is if we have a large turnover rate among the members of the permanent committee, the staff, the non-elected staff becomes the power structure. That unless the members of the committee acquire expertise, then they become really, they come under the strong influence of the professionals on the staff. And so we thought that a suitable wording should be given to an appropriate amendment, at which time those two issues should be wrestled with, and then the mind of the assembly considered.
The motion is that it be referred to the Permanent Subcommittee on Judicial Business for study and report to the 11th General Assembly. Further debate. Are you ready for the question? Those in favor of adopting this advice, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those opposed, raise your hand. I would rule that it is adopted.
Remove recommendation of recommendation 15. That has to do with overture 7, page 626. We make the following comment that we believe this matter is adequately dealt with in Audible Church Order 466, and that besides the wording, problems in the wording of the overture itself.
Motion is that this overture be answered in the negative. Number 7.
The Cupid Stewart, teaching elder of Angel Presbytery. This happens to come from our presbytery. I have two or three, four examples where men have come into our presbytery or have gone out of our presbytery and have never asked for a certificate of transfer. I assume they were received, were voting in the other presbytery, but had never been dismissed from us. We held them on our roll some as many as a year. As I was trying to clear it, I knew they were in another presbytery and knew they were voting, which meant they could come back and vote in ours because they were still there. I believe if we put in the Book of Church Order that certificate of transfer is the means by which their vote then can be in that new presbytery, we'll get those certificates. Otherwise, we're going very loosely in transferring men from one presbytery, licentiates are transferred, and very seldom do they send to the other presbytery for that certificate. I would urge you to vote down this and go back to the overture which you sent up.
Somebody answered, Moderator. We were sensitive to the issue that the speaker alluded to, but we thought that if the problem is not in the Book of Church Order, the problem is in the improper actions of certain presbyteries, and that presbyteries should act more precisely in accordance with the provision of Book Church Order, and that the Book Church Order is not designed to cover every little minutia and every little specification. The provision is there, and the presbyteries have ignored it. The problem is the presbyteries, not the Book Church Order.
We have the matter before you. Shall we come to a vote? Those in favor of answering it in the negative for these grounds, please raise your right hand. Thank you. Those to the contrary, the same sign. It is passed. Thank you.
We move adoption of Recommendation 16. This deals with Overture 9, page 125, which has already been considered and enacted upon under the Committee Commission Administration. So we recommend the answer by reference.
It's already done. Does that take a need a vote then? This has already been taken care of by reference, but we are supposed to approve that action. Those in favor of such approval on number 16, please raise your right hand. Contrary, so ordered. I gather it's kind of a housekeeping resolution. Thank you. Passed.
We move adoption of Recommendation 17, which deals with, Overture 13, page 628. This overture, in its essence, tries to deal with the problem of a quorum for congregational meetings in churches which specifically have over 2,000 resident committee members. The committee commissioners were sensitive to the special needs of large churches, and whether 2,000 could be the cutoff point or some other number, we were not prepared to judge. Also, we thought that the wording might need to be sharpened up, so we are recommending reference for study by the committee.
Number 17, the recommendation is to refer for further study. Number 8, Mike 8.
Rick Canada, teaching elder, Covenant Presbytery. I have a question for the stated clerk as to whether this and even the former recommendation, I didn't stand up on it, but as I see others coming along, I feel like I need to, should be referred rather to the Committee on Administration rather than the Committee on Judicial Business. That the Committee on Judicial Business is handled mainly judicial problems and questions of Constitution, working on wording for new amendments to the Constitution and so forth. I have a question if these items shouldn't be more properly referred to the Committee on Administration.
Is that a question or an amendment?
At this time it's a question to the stated clerk.
Mr. Moderator, if I may respond, at least in this overture, it is calling for Book of Church Order changes, and the procedure there is that the Judicial Business Committee should frame such proposals.
But the point is, it's asking for a study. It's not asking to prepare Book of Church Order changes. It's asking for a study to consider whether or not we should have Book of Church Order changes. If it was asking for changes, it should go to the Committee on Judicial Business. But if we're deciding whether we want changes or not, it seems to me it should go to the Committee on Administration.
Ms. Moderator, I think his point's well taken. I think the Assembly could do it either direction. In a sense, it might relieve the Committee on Judicial Business from just having to study whether they ought to do it, rather wait until they are directed before they start doing it.
That these type items, if my question is answered, may I make a motion then in that regard?
I take it that you were asking a question, and therefore you may make a motion.
I would amend the recommendation that it be sent to the Committee on Administration instead of the Subcommittee on Judicial Business.
You've heard the amendment. Is there a second? Moved and seconded, and that the matter, the statement sent to the Subcommittee on Judicial Business, be changed to the Committee on Administration.
Mr. Moderator, I do not speak for the committee commissioners, but I believe I discerned a sense during the discussions over here that there was no zeal as to which committee studied it. We would want it to study, however.
And then sort that aside the fact, right? Any further debate? If not, shall we proceed to vote? Those in favor of the amendment, please raise your right hand.
Thank you. Those opposed, raise your right hand. Same sign. It passes. And then we are ready to vote for the main motion. Those in favor of adopting the overture as amended, please raise your right hand. And thank you. Those opposed, raise your right hand. It is done. Thank you. Approved.
We move to consideration of recommendation 18. The old review of overture 14 on page 628. This has to do again with selecting commissioners. We recommend that this be referred to the Committee on Administration again. The matter needs study, and in this case, we ask the Committee on Administration to study this question.
This is
number 18 on page 677.
Number 18, the matter of referral of this overture that is before you. You have it, and the material is on 628. There's no debate on this desired. Are we ready to vote? All those in favor of this referral, number 18, please raise your right hand. Thank you. The contrary, same sign. It is passed.
We move to adoption of recommendation 19. This deals with overture 16, page 628, and this has to do with a minister who seeks to have his pastoral relationship dissolved and to move to another field. Under the wording of the overture, it says. In its essence, the last sentence would be, as we amend it, the last sentence would read, in any case, the minister, the top of the page 678, in any case, the minister must not physically leave the field until the presbytery or its commission in power to handle uncontested requests for dissolution has dissolved the relation. Now, the key point here is this. On 628, you have the overture, which amends the Book of Church Order paragraph. On pages 677 at the bottom, and starting there, the top of 678, we have the paragraph of Book of Church Order as amended. The recommendation coming from the overture says the following. In any case, the minister must not physically leave the field until the presbytery has approved his resignation. We thought that was very inflexible. He must not leave the field, must not physically leave the field until the presbytery has approved his resignation, with no exception, no other provision. We are recommending addition of the word until the presbytery or its commission empowered to handle uncontested requests for dissolution has dissolved the relation. And
now, this involves a change in the Book of Church Order?
Yes, sir.
And what is the method of changing the Book of Church Order? We adopt this now, and
that's correct. We would adopt, pass it down to the presbytery for advice and consent, and then have to re-vote on it again if the presbytery, two-thirds of them, give advice and consent.
So, yes. So the force of this is to amend the Book of Church Order, and it would have to be adopted now by a majority vote or three-fourths? Majority, two-thirds.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Moderator, you've called my attention here that the proper parliamentary procedure now is that I should yield the floor to the one who has moved a minority report. I was not aware that was the procedure, so I failed in that.
Yeah. Thank you. Just a moment. It must pass here by how much? By majority? Yes. The method is that it would have to pass by a majority here, then two-thirds of the presbytery, and then again next year by a majority. Now we come to the minority report. Who is number four representing the minority report? No. Question. We yield the floor to the person presenting the minority report. Who is that? Number 11.